Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. We're going to be discussing something today that usually you only talk with people that are really close to you about, and it's caregiving. And if you have had the experience of being a caretaker, this may be of very good interest, you know, of information for you. But if you know of someone that's going through a real rough time, and believe me, I've heard from so many, many people through the years, what do I do? How do I give good care to someone that I love? How can I assist a friend who's going through this? What can I do? Well, now there's a book that's been put out called Cancer Caregiving A to Z. And my guest is Patricia Swanson. Patricia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's good to be here.
Well, I want to ask you something, and I'm going to call you by Patty, if you don't mind. I like Patty.
That's fine.
Patty, when I was going through this book, it is very concise. It's very direct. You, along with, I'm sure, with some other people, put this together. Why is it, Patty, I'm going to ask a couple of questions, and then you answer them in the order you desire. Why is it that this was specifically oriented towards cancer? Because when I was going through it, I saw a lot of information that could be applicable to various situations. But also, what's your background? How did you come about to be a participant in putting this book together? And what have your experiences been?
Okay. I am a registered nurse. I have been doing hospice nursing and oncology nursing for the past 24 years. I am currently the administrator of our local county hospice, which I founded, and we have the distinction of being the only totally free, totally volunteer hospice in the United States.
Oh, my goodness. So where are you located?
I'm located in the very northwest corner of Minnesota.
Northwest corner of Minnesota. My goodness gracious, what an accomplishment.
Well, thank you. It's been very, very rewarding. My background as a nurse was I taught coronary care nursing when coronary care units were first coming out in the early 80s for a number of years, and then I thought, I think I've taught them all I need to know, or all that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I was becoming more and more involved as a volunteer for the American Cancer Society. So I switched from cardiology to oncology.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been a volunteer for the American Cancer Society now for 31 years, and I am currently on the National Board of Directors of the American Cancer Society, and I serve on a number of committees because of my board assignment, and one of them is quality of life and another is survivorship, which is how I happened to get involved with this assignment. And my experience with cancer caregiving relates to my 24 years of oncology nursing and hospice nursing. But the thing that I am so excited about, Donna, with this book, Cancer Caregiving A to Z, and it's an at-home guide for cancer patients and families, is that it is so practical, and it has so many wonderful, up-to-date tips that the first time I read it, there were even a couple of things that I picked up in there that I didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's geared toward cancer patients, which was another part of your question, because the American Cancer Society has been very aware in the past few years that a cancer diagnosis is a life-changing event for the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And it often puts key family members or friends into caregiving roles. And caregiving is such a key to the success of the treatment and recovery from cancer because their support of the caregivers is so crucial to the physical and emotional well-being of the patient, and it has an enormous influence on how they recover. And because we've made such strides in the early detection and treatment of cancer, we have so many caregivers in our country today, and that number is growing. So the need for a book like this for caregivers and their patients was an increasing and an apparent need that I think this book is going to be tremendously helpful to anyone in that position.
I am so aware of how cancer has interacted in my life and has touched the lives of so many people that I have known and even new people that I've come to know. This is something that, for whatever reasons, has been rearing its head of distinction, if you will, not pleasant distinction, on so many levels. And we didn't hear about it too much like this, I would say 20 or 30 years ago, but I think we are more open in our communication about it. And in that we have an older population, that there are so many people that are doing caregiving within families.
And
the stress is phenomenal. And I think that this book is so handy because if someone knows of anybody that is in need of some assistance, and so often people have such a sense of pride, they don't want to ask for help. They want to be able to be the superman or the superwoman, and that's always, to me, sort of sad, but I've played that role myself, and it's a hard lesson to have to learn. But when you have a book like this that you can refer to, then it really is a very good assistance. And one of the things that I popped in on right away, and it, starting with A, is appetite. And I heard a physician give a talk just a week ago. And the physician said that frequently people that become ill or going through treatment, they lose their appetites and they don't eat. And this is something that has created such devastation for so many people, because it'll weaken the patient so very, very much. But you go in, at least in the book, it is both from a patient positioning, so that the patient is educated, as well as the caretaker.
Exactly.
And I like this because the patient needs to be aware of why certain things are important. And I can remember a very dear friend of mine that passed away from cancer years ago. She literally starved to death. And it's very painful, because in her mind, psychologically, she was getting weaker, and I said, you must eat. If you don't eat, your body doesn't have the fuel to fight with. But she was thrilled she was losing weight. And, it was just a downhill battle. And I remember a couple of months before she passed, a friend said, what is it with you, Gail? your hips are getting smaller, but you're dying because you're starving. And I'm laughing, but I'm not laughing, because it is something that I've seen happen too many times. So let's talk about a patient. And loss of appetite isn't surprising, depending on what kind of a treatment they're going through or what their experience is. So let's talk about what we can do as a caregiver with someone and how to work with that. Because lots of times if people are on medications, their stuff just tastes horrible. I mean, you could give them the best cake or pie or ice cream in the world, and they go, I can't eat it. It just tastes like metal. I don't want it. You know, what do you do?
You know, and everything you've said, Donna, is so true, and you are so wise. But one thing that people need to learn, cancer patients, caregivers, and everyone else, is how important it is to do everything you can to maintain and increase your good health. And that includes eating right, getting rest, and getting exercise. And it is never more important than at a time when someone has been diagnosed with cancer and they're going through treatments, because eating right, getting rest, and exercising will help their treatment to be more effective. It will decrease the amount of side effects that they have, and it will help them get through the treatment in a much better way. It just makes everything better. And it's hard when different medications, like you mentioned, will cause them to not have much of an appetite. But there are things that they can do. And what's so good about this book is, as it says, Cancer Caregiving A to Z, it's written alphabetically, and each section, and it includes the most common things that people that are diagnosed with cancer and their caregivers confront. But each section gives a short paragraph explaining whatever the topic is in very simple terms, and then it lists what the patient can do to either decrease that symptom or deal with that issue or make that issue go better for them or to work more successfully for them. And then there's a section on what the caregiver can do to help the patient in that situation. And then, if and when it's a situation where they might need to call the doctor, it tells you in this book when to call the doctor and what, you know, what things happen that will be important for you to contact the doctor and what to ask. It is so practical and so up-to-date, but so, so helpful. But you really hit on something, Donna, that's of extreme importance, and that's eating the right foods. Our body chemistry needs to have vitamins and minerals and all the important nutrients to function. It's like a well-tuned machine, and it needs all of those things to function well. And when you're short of nutrients or of the proper foods, your body doesn't function well, even when you're healthy.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is very true. That's why, and just using some old stories, you know, think of scurvy.
Mm-hmm.
That was a vitamin deficiency.
Right.
So that was corrected when you had limes on the ship, or
mm-hmm.
things like this. There's just so much that we, you know, salt with iodine, you know, preventing goiters. This stuff seems so simplistic, and a lot of us will go, oh, well, it's no big deal today, but it is. And when someone is ill.
It is so huge. I tell all of my patients, be sure you eat right. And if something doesn't appeal to you, then let me know. Or people can check on our website or call our 800 number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to ask any question they want. And that would include, you know, things don't appeal to me because what can I do? And if it isn't in this book, and chances are it is, they can call and ask that question. And we have people trained at the end of our American Cancer Society call-in center to give them the answers. And that number, and everyone should know this because it's like having your own private oncologist, cancer specialist, at the end of the line, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that number is 1-800-227-2345.
Let's give that again, 800-227-2345.
That's correct.
And this is somewhat 24 hours a day. And
24 hours a day. And you know, Donna, there is no question that is too small, no question that is too big. This is where researchers call to find out how someone else's research is doing. This is where physicians call to find the latest up-to-date information in diagnosis and treatment. This call center is updated every 24 hours. It is state-of-the-art, state-of-the-science. We have people that can translate and speak in over 100 languages.
Oh, my goodness.
It is where CNN calls to get their cancer information. People call from all over the world to this 800 number to get their answers to cancer questions. It's fabulous.
Well,
and if someone just wants to talk
mm-hmm.
in the middle of the night,
mm-hmm.
sometimes people that are experiencing cancer don't want to burden their caregivers or their loved ones about things that they're worried about. They can call in the middle of the night and talk to them. They're trained to speak to people that are experiencing cancer. It's just the best thing.
This is wonderful to know about. Let's go into a different aspect, and that's clinical trials. We hear these advertised every once in a while. I'm in the Seattle, Washington area. There are major hospitals here that will have clinical trials, and they'll give information if you want to, you have a such and such a condition, or you're such and such an age, or whatever. We would like to know if you'd like to participate in this, and often there's some kind of a financial compensation. But I don't think people realize, often they'll hear the ka-ching of the cash register without really taking into context the fact that this is for a specific reason. When should clinical trials be used? And this is something that's covered in the book. There are so many areas of research. There's, my goodness, I don't even think they know how many cancers that there are because there's such a variety with cancer. But how do they deal with this? I mean, how can someone determine if they really should be a participant in something like this?
Well, a clinical trial, Donna, is done only when there is some reason to believe that the treatment that is being studied in that clinical trial may be more helpful than the treatment that the person is taking or that the doctor is recommending. And it is never inappropriate for a patient or a caregiver to say, is there a clinical trial that you might suggest for me? People's diagnosis is so unique. We're all like snowflakes. And cancer is such an extremely complex disease. It's not one disease. It's over 100 different types of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone gets chemotherapy, that term, chemo, just means chemical, and therapy means treatment. So it's some type of chemical treatment. It's medication of some type. It may be in the form of a pill. It may be an IV. But each person's chemotherapy, if they are treated that way, and cancer is also treated with surgery and radiation, but each chemotherapy treatment is like an individual recipe for whomever is getting that treatment. And that is determined by the type of cancer they have, the stage, the grade, their age, every factor physiologically involved with that person helps determine what medication or drug will be used for their chemotherapy and in what proportion or what combination. Everyone has their own individual recipe, and people respond to them differently. Now, there are some types of cancers at different stages that we now know that there are medications that work fabulously and will treat those cancers and stop them and even eliminate them and cure them. And in that situation, a clinical trial isn't necessary because they know full well that they are going to be able to treat this cancer. A clinical trial is considered when there's a reason to believe that the medication that they're studying in the clinical trial might work as well or better than what the patient or the doctor is currently considering. So it's never inappropriate to ask, but that's how they make that determination.
Let's talk about something that can happen, regardless of a person's age. When someone is going through treatment, many times we hear about it with the elderly, and that's false.
Mm-hmm.
That, I just had a phone call a few days ago from a friend of mine. Her mother, who is in her 80s, fell, and she was beside herself because she just didn't quite know what to do. And here, again, in the book, there's some very good information on this that would apply for anyone, just, mm-hmm. you know, just about any situation, but it is involving what a patient can do. And lots of times people don't want to pay attention when they're not feeling really strong when they're ill. And I've known cancer patients that their energy is so low that it takes them, dependent on their physiological response to whatever treatment they're going through, to get a recuperation process where they're feeling better. It is, you really have to pay attention, and the patient has to let the caregivers know what's going on. And the biggest thing is when they don't feel like they've got good balance.
Right.
And that has to be paid attention to.
Oh, it does indeed. And And sometimes people will get dizzy and lose their balance simply because they're dehydrated, and that can be taken care of if they just drink more liquids.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so important for the patient to let the caregiver know, and for the patient and the caregiver to let the doctor know what difficulties or symptoms they have, because the doctor can only deal with and help and fix whatever he or she knows about. And so it's so important for patients and caregivers to keep in touch with their doctor or the doctor's nurse to let them know if they're having any difficulty. But like for someone who's feeling, you know, weak or dizzy or off balance, it helps so much for them when they get up to just sit in the chair or on the sofa or the bed, just sit there for a minute or two before they get up and try and walk. And this can be very, very helpful. And also if someone is having trouble walking, not only letting their doctor know, but also asking about a home health visit from the home health nurses, because they have wonderful tips on ways to make your home safer for you and help you to maintain your ability to get up and walk around, but to do it more safely.
Now, you just mentioned something that I'm very interested in, the home health nurses. Now, are these private contractors? How would someone find out about this? Because there are so many people that are taking care of individuals that maybe are going through cancer treatments or illness of some kind. How do they know where to go for some assistance? Because, as we all know, healthcare is going through the ceiling, so to speak.
Oh, yes.
So is this something that you work through agencies to find if someone needs assistance? Because let's face it, the medical bills are going to have to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you needed someone who was a caretaker at home? What? How would they find out about the home health nurses?
Well, there's a couple ways that they can do that. They can ask their doctor about who the home health agency near them would be, which agency to contact. They can try the yellow pages under community health or home health. They could call this 800 number that I gave you, 800-227-2345, and ask them where the nearest agency would be. They would have that information, or they would be able to refer them to the American Cancer Society's patient navigator that serves that area, and they would have that information as well.
Oh, that's great. Hospice care is something that is a reality, and I have known so many people that have benefited from hospice care. I have a very dear friend that was in a Franciscan hospice care, and they were just awesome, absolutely awesome. And it was wonderful to see the attitude, the environment, and everything that was being done for the patient as well as for the family. This is something we're all going to experience at one time or another. And preparation for this type of thing is not something people even want to talk about frequently. It's like, no, we just don't want to go there. I have a family where the daughter has been trying to talk to the parents because they're at an age in their life and one of them is going through cancer treatment, that you need to look at these things. We need to talk about these things. And can't get that person to even give them 5 minutes of time because they're terrified by the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But hospice is so valuable. There are so many dedicated people like yourself that have made such a difference in so many people's lives because of your thoughtfulness, your skill, being a nurse, being able to assist families. Let's address this because I think it's very important.
Oh, it is indeed. And the thing that people need to know today is there is so much that we now know about comfort care that it is no longer necessary for people to experience pain, for one thing, and that is pain management is something that the hospice movement and hospice staff have perfected. It's very, very rare that someone needs to be in pain that we cannot control and eliminate within 24 to 48 hours. But we also have another movement in this country called palliative care, which is not well understood either. And palliative care means comfort care for people that have any type of illness that is causing them discomfort or it's just difficult for them to live with. Palliative care does not mean that they are necessarily terminal. It's comfort care.
Mm-hmm.
However, hospice care is comfort care, and the goal of hospice care is for someone that the doctors have said there's really nothing more that we can do for treatment or cure. There's comfort measures. Chances are this person has 6 months to a year left to live. But now, please know that hospice never, never gives up hope.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to provide comfort and to help that person and their family live as fully as possible, as long as possible. And that doesn't mean that we give up hope, because in my own practice, I've had just in the past few years, 5 patients that were admitted to hospice. Their doctor said they were not going to recover from their illness, but either there was a miracle or their chemotherapy or their treatments kicked in later on, but they recovered.
Mm-hmm.
They got better, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
They did not die. 3 of them are still alive out of those 5, and the other 2 lived for many years and died of something else.
Mm-hmm.
So even with hospice, we do not give up hope. But what we do is to do everything we can to keep that patient as comfortable as possible, to help them live as fully as possible, and to get their affairs in order and communicate with their family. And as you know, because you have friends that have been through this experience, it's a tremendous help. And it's sometimes very unfortunate when people are not admitted to hospice until they are at the very end of their life, because there's so much more that the hospice staff could have done for them if they had been admitted earlier. And it's a difficult step for people to take, and there are also less people, I think, inclined to consider hospice because there are so many treatment options available, and they want to try every treatment possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I think, again, you've made an excellent point about hospice service can make someone's life so comfortable, and I know of one family when I had made that suggestion to them. Interestingly enough, the woman of the family was a nurse, and she said, here I am, I'm a nurse, I should know about this. But she was so involved in administrative positioning, and she didn't give that any consideration. She had shelved it into a compartment in her mind. And boy, did it take off pressure off of her, because she had some wonderful support, good people, and she said the difference in our lives as a family was like night and day.
Oh, it is. And the thing is that caregiving can be very fulfilling, but it can also be very, very demanding and stressful. And it's so important that people communicate. There's almost always, whether someone is terminal or not, caring for anyone, whether they have cancer or anything else, is almost always more than one person can do.
Oh, yes.
So asking for help or letting others help can relieve the pressure so much, and it's so important that caregivers do this so they have time to care for themselves.
And that's a big issue. That's a whole other interview, taking care of the self, because if the caregiver becomes ill, then you're really in a very bad situation, and often it's such an emotional drain, even a spiritual drain on someone, because they'll feel so helpless about not being able to control certain things.
Oh, absolutely. And I know when I was in a situation like this myself, I felt like I had a sack of rocks on my back.
Right.
But every time someone did something to help me, whether they listened or they did any little thing, sent me a card, flowers, whatever, to let me know they were thinking of me, I felt like they took a rock out of my sack.
And that is a wonderful way for us to close out this interview, I think, today. Patty, Patricia is your formal name. Patricia Swanson has been my guest today. This book is outstanding, Cancer Caregiving A to Z, and it's a at-home guide for patients and families, but it's got a lot in there that I think could help anyone that is going through a situation where they're having to give care. It's just got a lot of good information. You've got a toll-free number that you could call. You have literally the world of knowledge right at your fingertips at 800-227-2345. That's 800-227-2345. And Patty, quickly, give us the website that people can go to.
I will. Our website is www.cancer.org, and we have the same world of health there. And this book, Donna, is also available at any bookstore.
Wonderful. Patricia Swanson, thank you so much for being my guest. And I just have such appreciation for people like you because I know the dedication and commitment that you have, and it's wonderful to have you on the air. Thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, you're so welcome, and thank you for the opportunity.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Lots of good things to share today. We'll be right back.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, it's Donna, and telephone lines are now open. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the telephone numbers to call into. Toll free, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. Yes, any of those phone lines, just give me a buzz. All I want from you when I answer the phone line is your first name or your initial. Then let me give you my insights as I perceive them about you, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you would like to have some insights on. So I'd be delighted to do that. Again, 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. We've got a great lineup of guests this week. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Elizabeth Dodd. It always fascinates me, the various areas of work that people will go into. Can you imagine climbing into caves in different parts of the country to look at rock art? Well, this woman is quite an interesting individual because she's traveled to many different parts of the country and has discovered all kinds of different things, and that's what her book, In the Mind's Eye, is all about. Then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Michael Schwartz about health and disease symbology. Now, many of you will probably have an understanding about this. Louise Hayes wrote a wonderful book about different aspects of the body and diseases of relationships and why we get sick and so on and so forth. And her book is a classic. Well, Michael's taken this another step further, and he's gone into a lot more detail, and I think you'll find some of this quite interesting. Anyway, it gives a perspective and an insight because there is that mind-body connection, so we'll be talking about that on Friday. Next week, we are going to be sailing the high seas, yes. I've got a lady who is in her 70s, Sharon Sykes Adams, and she was the first woman to sail solo across the world's largest ocean. Her book is called Pacific Lady. She is 78 years young. Wow. I am so looking forward to talking with her. She lives in Oregon. And to know this woman's story is just amazing. So we've got a great lineup of people. And remember, all you have to do is check in here at bbsradio.com. You'll see the guests that are listed. And then also you can go to my website and check in on my newsletter, and you'll find the information there as well. Let's take our first caller today, first name or initial, and where are you calling from?
How you doing? My name is Jim Ferguson, and I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show. So glad you were able to call in. First thing that I am looking at with you, Jim, is that you have to stay on course. And I know it's getting a bit monotonous, but what I am looking at is an image of an old-fashioned train engine. And you know there's that clackety-clack, clickety-clack type of sound as the wheels are going over the track. And it's just that kind of a sound that I'm getting. It's slow, sure, steady, consistent. It's just the keeping on, keeping on.
Yes.
Don't hit any brakes. Don't take any side trips at all from what you are having to focus on. Because within 2 to 3, and I honestly do not know if it's 2 to 3 days, weeks, or months. It's a relatively short period. Within 2 to 3, you're going to find yourself in that positioning of being able to stop the engine because the trip will be over. That's the type of description I will use. Now, there is someone that is going to encourage you to go into business with them.
Yes.
It's really going to sound absolutely wonderful, and I want to say it's too soon.
Okay.
Whatever this is related to, you don't have enough information. You don't have enough experience. You need to keep the dollars in your own pocket, in your own bank account, at least for now. I want you to do your homework.
Okay.
And they may say, gee whiz, I got to do it right now, so on and so forth. And they may have to. That's their choice.
Right.
So right now, you keep your focus. Don't get sidetracked. Stay consistent. Go through the clickety-clacks, clackety-clacks. Do what you have to do.
Okay.
And you're not going to have any regrets. If you get sidetracked, whatever this is involving that you're working on at this time, it could take you a year or two to recuperate. Why do you want to do that to yourself? I don't think it's necessary. What's on your mind, Jim? What would you like to ask me?
Well, I'm in the process now. I mean, you hit that really dead on the money, because I'm in the process now is I'm in the process of becoming a BBS radio host.
Oh, congratulations.
I have a show that we're putting together now, and I'm definitely finding things that are trying to deter me from staying on course, you know, including myself, locking down and really pushing everything out the way and just taking every day, making steps towards those goals. And that is what I'm definitely feeling. And at this point, just basically feeling pulled in multiple directions because, you know, it is such a load on trying to get things the exact way that I want them to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of one of those things. But basically, you know, you hit that right on the money. I mean, you hit it right on the money. That's kind of what it is right now, you know, with me. It's just staying focused and every day making movement towards that positive goal.
And if you're consistent, then you will be able to achieve what you want.
Perfect.
If you get sidetracked, again, and I know I'm repeating myself, but it's for a reason.
Right.
Then it will take you a year to 2 years to get back on the track that you should be on.
Got you. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and thank you for calling in, and I appreciate you're doing exactly that, calling into the show today. That was very, very nice of you to do.
Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome, my friend.
Okay.
Great success to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel. Give me a buzz. That's how simple it is. 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 and 530-876-3222. And by the way, I want to thank those of you that are sending me stories. And, with the holidays coming up, if you've got a super-duper recipe, pop it into an email to me. I'd be delighted to share it on the air. And, that's one of my favorite things is just talking about food. And it's preparation and doing some things different that makes it easier for cooking or healthy cooking. I enjoy that. So send me whatever you like. Or if you have special stories on animals, and I've gotten some wonderful, wonderful stories on animals, and when I'm in a position to do so, I will be sharing them. One's on crows, and it just was amazing. So, again, I want to thank those of you that are sending me those emails. I do want to share a few things that have come to my attention, and I love stories about synchronicity because it seems like every day, and maybe it's not every single day, but to me, it just seems like it's such a part of my life that when I'm in that synchronistic flow, things pop in and fall into place, sometimes in the most surprising ways. I don't know about you, but have you ever gotten stressed over something? You've got things to do, and my goodness, you've got a time frame, and just seems like, just like our guest that was on just a moment ago, there's just so much going on that, wow, how is everything going to fall into place? Well, sometimes you just have to let go, and that is what I have found when I can do that and just say, hey, I just have to let things go, pull back a little bit, not try to control everything. And all of a sudden, things will fall into place. Well, Pamela Darcy is a woman who shared her story, and I really was impressed with it, so I thought I would share it with you as well. Now, she lives in Corvallis, Oregon, and she got a call from a friend that asked her if Pamela and her husband would allow her daughter to live with them for just a few months because the young woman was going to be starting into college her first semester. But Pamela was really very stressed over this whole thing. She really didn't want to do it. Her husband had a heart attack, and they needed, in her mind, some peace and quiet. So she didn't turn her friend's request down, but she said, let me think about it. Well, the heart attack situation with her husband was just very agonizing for her. He had collapsed at an airport on his way back from a business trip, and a paramedic had kept her husband's heart beating with CPR for a number of minutes until a medical team arrived with the proper equipment. This stressed her out so much. She just could not figure out how she was going to cope with it. She was so grateful for that particular medic that gave her husband the attention that he needed. She said, I wish I had been in the state of mind to thank him. When I briefly met him at the hospital my husband was taken to, but she did not do that. And she said, now things were getting back to normal. Gee whiz, should she really bring this young person into her home? Would it be too disruptive for her husband? Well, she got another call from her friend and said, please, would you give it some consideration? The girl was desperate because she really needed a place to stay, starting off in college. And finally, Pamela said, okay, all right, we'll do it. So anyway, she happened to find out that not only was her friend going to be coming with this young lady, but also another fellow was going to be with them. And so here they come to the house, and she said she was all prepared. She had goodies prepared, and they were chatting about the young lady's college plans. And then she looked over at the gentleman who was with them, finds out that this is the father of this young lady. She said something looked very familiar about him. She couldn't put her finger on it. And she said, I was in the back of my mind while we were having this conversation thinking about how I was going to take care of the room for the girl and we were going to have, you know, just a very nice arrangement here. And she happened to turn to the girl's father and asked him, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a paramedic. And then she knew. This was the man that had saved her husband's life in the airport that she had never had a chance to even say thank you to. Who would have in a million years? What are the odds of having somebody that did that kind of a service for you be in your house with their daughter who needed a room to go to college? Maybe you can calculate the odds. I wouldn't even begin to try. Anyway, that's Pamela Darcy's story, and I just think it's absolutely wonderful. You never know how things are going to turn out. And something that I learned a long time ago, and I'll share this with you because I think it's so great, and I know there's a movie that was made called Pass It On, and I really believe this. Sometimes people do very special things for us, and we feel like we're obligated to them or we should pay them back. And if you're able to do that, to give a thank you in a way and an appreciation, I think that's wonderful. But sometimes you may not be able to. Sometimes someone may be able to do something very, very nice for you. And they really don't want you to pay them back. What they want you to do is to pass it along. And that was said to me once many, many years ago by a gentleman who did something very special for me. And I said, gee, I'm not in a position, I don't know how I could ever repay you for this. He said, don't you ever be concerned about that. What I want you to do is to pass it on to someone else. This is Donna Siebel. We're taking a break for just a moment. Don't go away. Got some other good stuff to share. We'll be right back. Don't forget, you can call, too, if you want. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Siebel is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. First name or initial, that's all I need from you. I wanted to talk about a business that has really done a very good job of going green in their business. And this is a popular term that is being applied across the board to so many things. And our world, believe it or not, is being changed quite rapidly. Because of this, we are becoming more attentive, and I like to think it's happening globally, but I know just about anybody and everybody I come in contact with, they're always talking about some green aspect of business. The hot topic is fuel. How can we have a fuel that is going to be, one, cost-effective, and two, not harm the environment? Well, food. There's a lot with food that's coming out that way. And there is a company, Green Mountain, that puts out a coffee, and they decided to really go into being aware of what they were doing. And this is happening with more and more businesses. And what I find so interesting in a lot of the material that I have been receiving is that more and more there is a shift within the corporate thinking. And I know on the average, most people do not have a lot of faith in corporations. Well, it is shifting because corporations, businesses, they're run by people. You know, this isn't some entity up in the sky that's in a little box somewhere. Corporations are run by people. when the individuals in management and those employees that work for individuals in management that feel a sense of responsibility about their businesses and how they can make it better and do things better, then shifts happen, and economically it can serve them well. This company really have decided that this is what they wanted to do, and they had been, you know, they had done very, very well. They had started this business, and they were doing very, very nicely with it, but they said, in Vermont, there's a lot of people that really care about the green issues. And so it was coming up more and more and more in conversation, and they said that they decided, management and personnel, that they were going to really pay attention to these various issues, and they set a number of different goals. They had a volunteer goal, and they have a certain program where the workers of the company can take up to 52 hours a year out of the normal work week. It has to be approved by supervisors to perform community service for an organization, a nonprofit organization of type. And it doesn't come out of anybody's pay. Nobody's docked in their pay. But it's something that the company has adopted as a policy. And they have just found that this has worked very, very well because the employees just really enjoyed doing it. So they have gotten nominated as a Best Corporate Citizen in 2006 and 2007. And this company has been receiving all kinds of accolades for being attentive to what they do. Now, they offer over 200 varieties of various coffees, teas, and cocoa, and they just have gotten all kinds of innovative ideas. And I think it's important, whether it is a coffee company, home care company, whatever, that openness of attitude saying, let's pay attention. What is it that we can do? How is it that we can make this world a better place where we are not creating a detrimental set of circumstances for the environment and for health and wellness? I mean, we've had guests on this show that talk about sick houses and talk about all kinds of things that have affected them in negative ways, and basically it's been due to our own ignorance. Well, as we become educated, as we become informed, we then are able to explore options, aren't we? And I think that that's so important for us to keep in mind. It's very easy to criticize. Instead of wasting your energy doing that, it's okay to criticize if you're not unhappy with something. But why not take that same kind of energy and say, how can I make a difference? What could I do as a single individual? What could I do that would make me feel like I'm contributing to the betterment of our environment? Does it mean not using certain chemicals? If I need to have certain cleaning solvents, what can I use in place of what I have? How can I better my own health, my own environment, so that I can be an example for other people? And this doesn't mean you have to go out and try to be a super person by any means, but little things, little steps can make a difference. They really, really can make a difference. So I just wanted to share that with you. Also, if you are really wanting, as a business person, to improve different aspects of your business, well, I've got some tips regarding that. There's a gal, Rhonda Adams, who's just really quite knowledgeable, who's brought up some very good points. But, my goodness, our time is getting so close to being, well, we're going to be running out of time here, that I think I'm going to have to save that perhaps for tomorrow. And I've got some wonderful, wonderful things that people have sent me that I wanted to share with you, too. So we're just going to have to do that tomorrow. And what I would say to you is this, remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. It's so important for you to recognize that you as an individual, you have the power of one. And you, perhaps combined with someone else that maybe would love to support you in whatever your objective might be, then that becomes a power of two, and it can multiply in wonderful ways. But you have the choice. There are a lot of places in this world that don't have the environment of choice. And we're very fortunate in this country that we do have choice in many, many ways. So to keep that, we have to exercise it. Choice is like a muscle. If you don't use it, you may find that it gets pretty stiff and pretty much out of shape. So don't give up on yourself and don't give up on your dreams, your ideals, or your ideas. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be here with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.